said, he gave us the countdown. It's official. The show has started. This is Loser Lee's Wrestling, the woos and whats of AEW Dynamite. We just finished AEW Dynamite. What a show it was. We haven't discussed a thing about it. We even talked about it to each other. We hopped right on, and now we're going to talk to you about it. The best and worst of AEW. Best and worst. My name is Joe. Don't start with me.
That was your Boston accent. It came out.
My best and worst.
There you go. We were just messing with it before the meeting.
My name is Red Jefferson. Red Jefferson. I'm here with...
Moa Jaswal. Park the car. Moa Jaswal. I'm trying.
Oh, Jet. There's no way.
It's a weird. You can't do an Indian Boston accent with an Indian name.
You'd have to get a Boston guy to do it.
Well, yeah, that's our problem.
They're the only ones that know how to mispronounce things in their own accent.
That's true. Yeah, it's an art form. Yeah,
it's an art. Welcome. We just finished AEW Dynamite. What day is today? It's the 21st Wednesday, 21st of April. Mo, what did you think of AEW Dynamite tonight?
Red, I think they came back. I think they're back to norm. I think it's, let's say 80% was fantastic, which is a great ratio. So yeah, I had a lot of fun tonight.
I wouldn't say 80% for me, but I would say this was a big improvement. Big improvement. By the way, if you like what you're seeing today, even before you see it, check out our podcast, Loser Lee's Wrestling. On Sundays, we do the news you can't lose. We talk about the news of the week. Just letting you know in case you're just joining in. But we're moving back on to AEW Dynamite. Enough of the plugs. Let's talk about the best stuff that happened today. The big woos of the evening. Mo, what's your biggest woo that you had
today? I'm going to have to say Ricky Starks versus Hangman Page.
Okay.
What do you feel?
It's on my list. But I wouldn't say it's my biggest whoop. But it is a whoop. Let's talk about it.
I like it. So I like it because it was. We haven't seen them wrestle each other yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was great. I thought they had an incredible story back and forth. Just Ricky trying to overcome Hangman Page's intensity, as Excalibur said it. And a nasty drop on his neck at one point.
Was bad.
Yeah, which played into the submission at the end. The finish was Hangman got him. What kind of submission was that?
Bulldog choke. But then he grabbed the leg, which was he was selling throughout the match too.
Yeah, it felt like they were planning they definitely were planning the ankle as to sell throughout the match. But that neck injury or a very close call, whatever happened, where he flipped and almost, you know.
Yeah.
Something nasty happened, but we could talk about it in a second. But he that just played into that submission where he was working the neck and the ankle twice to get that submission. It was fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. I was excited that they had a finish that wasn't the usual finish of kicking out of everyone's finishes over and over and over again until you do one ultimate finish. This one was nice because it came out of nowhere a little bit, and I was glad that he got the tap. In regards to that suplex, it looked like Ricky was supposed to land on his feet,
yes,
but maybe he didn't get the rotation, but he no-sold it when he got up. Like, he fell on his neck, and like, yeah, and obviously he was obviously probably pretty jarred by the whole thing, and he just responded by like not selling it at all and then started attacking. But man, would that have been a cool moment to if you were not injured to sell it?
Oh,
you know?
For sure. Yeah, I think what happened, or what should have happened, was he was supposed to land on his feet, no sell it, because he landed on his feet, and it was supposed to be a big moment, and he comes back at him. But he didn't rotate, landed on his head, and didn't know what to do. And in it's like split second timing, so you just keep like no selling it. But what I felt like, you could feel the audience kind of like the breath get out of that, you know, taken away.
100%.
And you could see kind of, I don't know, maybe you could just see some fear. I just felt fear of like, is he okay, in everyone's eyes, and including Ricky's. And then they just kept going, and it looked like he was okay, thankfully.
And I'm not trying to be nitpicky about it, because obviously he reacted in the best way he could at the time. Thank God he didn't get hurt. But that's the difference between wrestling right now and the psychology of before. Whereas, like, if something happens in the match that's not supposed to happen, you just don't continue to your next spot. You milk it. The crowd just reacted to something that was real for a second, and people were concerned, play off of that. And that's like an instinct of someone like a Christian would bring, hopefully, to AEW, is like, being more in the moment rather than thinking about, oh, no, I'm supposed to be over here because I planned it, you know?
I guess so. I agree.
That's a part of the improv and dance of older wrestling.
I agree, but it was also kind of scary because I the rest of the match, after that moment happened, I wasn't sure if he was actually injured, I couldn't tell what happened, so I was still worried for him, and anytime they did any sort of neck move maneuver, like the, I guess the ending, the submission, I was, sure. I was a little concerned, you know? So it still kind of played me the entire match.
Yeah.
But,
I, yeah. But you know what I'm saying, though.
I do agree.
It could, for those moments, it'd make it bigger and bolder if they're just like, well, thank God that didn't hurt him, but let's use it now. You know? It's those happy accidents. Well, not happy, but like accidents that could be happy. But moving on, that's a great woo moment. That's a great job. We did a great job with our first one. I will say, though, when Hook came in at the end and was giving those kicks, they were pretty funny looking. I did not like Hook coming in and start doing... You saw that?
Yeah, yeah.
When he was giving the kicks to Hangman. It just looked awkward. He's not... he still has some work to do.
It was fine. He's getting his confidence slowly. He's wearing, yeah, he's like, there. You know, tighter t-shirts and stuff, and he's showing off a little bit, and, you know, I'm into that.
And he's a kid. He's like 20 years old.
Yeah, he's
like
going to get there. Yeah, give
he's
him
gonna
some time.
He's going to get there. I'm being nitpicky. Let's moving on. What other big woos we have? Want to hear what my biggest woo of the evening was?
Hit me, Red.
Hakura Shida versus Ty Conte. Amazing match.
Really good.
Great match. A women's match they built up nicely. They had a good video package before. Hard hitting, hard fought. Hakura Shida got the win at the end. And out comes, either to make it just even perfect, out comes Britt Baker. What are your thoughts on the match before we get to talk about Britt?
Oh, I mean, it was incredible. Yeah, there's at least, I want to say, three matches that I could have easily put at the top one. As my best pick of the night. So this was one of them for sure. Yeah.
How do you feel? So my favorite part was the Britt Baker thing. That Britt Baker thing at the end. Honestly, I was, the way that the main event ended, I wish this was the main event. I wish this was the main event because they could easily go up. It's a women's championship match. Makes sense for it to main event. And then at the end to have her come out and then DMD stare down end the show.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been a cool ending. That would it be, it would have got me excited, got me pumped to see what she's going to do, because Britt Baker belongs with that title, right?
Yeah, and she's been playing that up for the last week or two about the rankings, which I love. Yeah. I love that both in this particular situation and Darby Allin bringing in Jungle Boy, they're really paying attention to the rankings in a fun way. You know,
yeah.
I think it's, it can get a little absurd at times. Like, I noticed, what's his name, Billy Gunn, he walked out to the ring and his it said in his info he's undefeated in the past 17 matches or something.
Lord.
Because he's just on dark or something, or whatever,
and he's having,
you know,
those six-man tags with his sons.
Yeah, so it's a little, it can be a little wonky, but in moments like how Britt Baker used it, it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Just waiting for the moment for her to get into the number one spot, and last week she made a very good case of how she's gonna get to that spot.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I just love that she capitalized on that moment, and it's going to be a great match whenever it happens, and she should win, because I'm a mark for Britt Baker.
Yeah, and why don't you should check out our video, Britt Baker, it's right in our spotlights, the most recent video. You got to check it out and give it a like, and then share it, for Christ's sakes. Thank you all so much for your patronage. One thing I will say, though, I do believe that both Ty and Hakura need a manager. Ty less so, Hakura definitely. She's not comfortable enough on the mic. She has a lot to offer, because I actually this matches like this really remind me of why she's the champion and why she's so important. But I just would love for her to be a part of a stable. Why aren't there more women in these stables? Why aren't there more women in these stables? Like, right now, there's a few spattered around, but I would love for Ty to be a part of the Dark Order. I think that would make sense. I feel
she's kind of in it. She's kind of in the Dark Order.
I just want someone to talk for her until she's more comfortable. I like her style right now. Like, I'm enjoying what she's doing, but she's not comfortable yet, I don't think. Not in the way that I would want her to be. Or maybe that's just because she needs more practice.
Do you mean on the mic or what?
On the mic.
Yeah.
On the mic. Yeah. Only on the mic. She's amazing. That's why I'm saying she's amazing. It's just that the only person that looked like a champion in this match was Britt Baker.
No, that's not true. That was actually my big point about this match, was I thought Shida did a great job. Like, I agree she needs work on the mic, but what I love is that they're actually giving her time. They're giving Tay Conti time, and they're doing it in these video packages, similar to Jade Cargill, awful live, but that's because she just started. Mm-hmm. Like, if she does a video package, they can edit it and like make it great, and they still get the experience. So
let me back.
I think they're doing a great
bit.
Job.
I want to backpedal just a smidge.
I feel like I'm fighting you. I'm sorry.
I think they're both championship material. And they're both champion. They can be both champions. I'm just saying, in a room of Britt Baker, Ty, and Hakura, the total package is Britt Baker. She's a level above everyone else. She's a star. She's already a star. And it feels like Hakura Shida's not there yet.
But Red, we discussed this in our YouTube video on Britt Baker.
We do discuss this in our YouTube video about Britt Baker.
She's had a full year of weekly twice a week sometimes on the mic live in front of an audience, where Shida and Tay Conti have not had that. So I think by giving them this chance over and over there, I feel like, you know, this is sort of a thing where you just give them time and get something, you know.
You know what? Thank you for bringing up the fact that we have that video about Britt Baker, because I completely forgot that point, which is an excellent point. We should all check. I'm going to check out that video right after this.
You should see that right video on our YouTube page.
I should probably
page.
Watch
yeah,
that video again, just because I need a refresher. Moving on. We've got more woos. Give me another woo from you. What do you got? So far, we're both are on the same page. We're both have 2 for 2.
I do want to say, can I go back to it real quick? I just want to say real quick. I think I just thought the psychology of the match was really good, and I didn't get a chance to mention that. I think she's a great fighting champion. I think as her character as a fighting champion, taking on all newcomers, all styles and stuff, and Tay Conti presented a very new style to her, at least in AEW, of course. And I thought she presented that in a great way with the start of the match. They put over her judo skills constantly, and they're really great. And you could just see that Shida had done her homework. You know, she had planned it, and she had found really smart ways to defend herself against the judo flips. I don't know what to.
Sure.
I don't remember the
actual the tosses, the judo toss. Yeah. They were trying to judo each other.
I just know
because trying to judo each other's judo.
Austin Powers, he goes judo chop. So every time I say judo flip, I just think of Austin Powers, because it's like that's not the right way to describe these terms.
Every episode, you bring it back to Austin Powers.
I'm obsessed with it. I'm sorry, he's the voice of a generation. All right, we can move on if you want.
Give me your next woo. What's your next big woo?
I'm looking at my list. Darby Allin. Darby Allin versus Jungle Boy. I would say number 3. It's hard to say. We're going to talk about I misread my list, but Darby Allin, let's talk about it anyway.
Let's talk about Darby Allin and Jungle Boy. I thought that was a really great match. They had this really great, a different Darby Allin match, because it's someone more his size, which I enjoyed the fact that there was a lot more. It was like the fact that Jungle Boy is a very technical wrestler, and Darby Allin is to a point until he gets mad, or until he feels like he has to fight up. You know, like when someone beats him at something, he'll do anything to win. And which I really love that story. Seeing them both have to interact with a person that's smaller is just exciting, because I love technical matches like this. And they sold, Moet. They sold like all hell. Oh. They were just so good at taking their time and making everything look like it hurt, even when it wasn't there. You know, they went in with the match, they were bought in, they got lost in it. It was very good.
Did you appreciate Ricky Stark's selling throughout the night his ankle, by the way?
Oh, I loved it. Yeah. Loved it.
The entire match. And then later on, he comes out for Powerhouse Hobbs. He's still selling the ankle. He's one of the best.
Yeah, and I think that's very important. Yeah. And that's very important for faces more so, though. It's very important for faces to remember to sell more than anyone, because you want to feel sympathy. So for Darby Allin, sells better than anyone. He's really he's so good. He looks so pained, and he falls like Jeff Hardy, which is great.
I feel like he was the heel in this match.
He was.
Right? Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, which I thought worked perfectly in this match, or in this this duo, you know?
But you can forgive his heelish tactics, because he is someone that's an underdog that has to fight with everything, you know? And in this match, where it wasn't necessarily the size that was outdoing it, it was because Jungle Boy is that fucking good, you know?
Yeah. And it was intense.
And so he had to gouge his eyes a little bit. He had to step on his back. You know, it was good. The only thing that ruined it for me, though, was the Sting and Luchasaurus involvement.
Yeah, that was silly. I appreciate that once it happened, they found a really lousy excuse to just bring them out to the back. You know, to take them out. I don't know. I'm kind of mixed on it because, okay, for one, it's absolutely unnecessary in this match.
It's a distraction.
Total distraction. But on the other hand, I do kind of like this version of Sting that, like, he's going to be 80 and he's still going to be able to get in, like, you know, 20-year-old dinosaur faces and be like, well, he's not 20. I guess he's like 20,000-year-old. But you know what I mean?
60 million.
Or, yeah, sorry. I got to remember these ages. But yeah, he's still going to get in people's faces. He's still going to argue no matter what. His entire life, he's still going to stand up. And I think that's kind of cute. I think it's cute.
It's cute. Goth Dad.
Yeah.
Goth Dad is very cute. And he's got to hey, quit picking on my son, Goth Son.
That's exactly.
And he gets angry and they get each other's face. I just wish this happened after the match.
Yeah.
And because if they just kept it going, because they had something real beautiful going, and it would have been an amazing match. If they didn't have that moment. And then the fight afterwards where everyone comes out and the big Lance Archer comes out and beats up Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky because they came in to beat up the good guys. And then Jake is just standing in the background watching. Why is Jake there, Mowat?
Geez. I mean, he's there because he's... I don't know.
I don't understand any of that reason. Like, there was no reason to bring Lance Archer out there. I hated that. Just throw people out there.
Sure. Do you understand why Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page were there? I feel like I missed it.
I think last week they were like they were about to fight Jungle Boy or something like that, or they were about to fight Darby Allin and they didn't because they were trying to hold back. I forget the exact circumstances. Mm-hmm. It was another big mess last week where they jumped in. This whole story started from that. Mm-hmm. So I forget what it was. Honestly, I blocked out the past 3 weeks of Dynamite pretty good.
If anyone in the chat can explain that to me, I'd love it because I feel like I'm just completely missing it.
Yeah, sound off in the chat if you know what the hell's going on with Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky, because we sure don't. And we watch every week and we have no idea.
I admittedly don't keep up with Elevation and Dark as much as I should.
We shouldn't have to. We shouldn't have to watch 6 hours of wrestling a week to understand what Scorpio Sky is doing.
Yeah.
Moving on. What? I think this is where we're gonna start differing on our woos. Cause my next one, Christian versus Powerhouse Hobbs.
Ooh, yeah, see, because that was a good one, but it didn't make my list because I there was just too many good things to this episode.
Yeah. All my woos are matches. Christian, that was a perfect way to have a match with someone that's a different size than you. You know, like to put someone over, to have a different match. He's not having his Frankie Kazarian match. He's having a Powerhouse Hobbs match where Powerhouse beats the shit out of him the entire time, but pretty safely. Like, Christian's very good at selling, and he's very good at taking his time of doing something spectacular. And he just put out a great match. Just great. And very excited for when the stare down with Starks and Christian.
Yeah.
That'll be great.
Wait, what is it? What do you mean? What is it?
I think Christian and Starks,
of course,
Starks is unhappy with the Team Taz, and I think Brian Cage is unhappy with Team Taz, and I think they're both going to jump ship and be a part of Christian's stable of workhorses.
Whoa! No, I did not connect those dots at all. That's what
Christian happened. And Brian Cage with Ricky Starks, their lovable friend, because they're cousins.
Sure. Yeah, I'm really enjoying Christian Cage right now. It took me, a couple weeks to really, like, get into this new role of his. This isn't a perfect analogy, but I see it as Logan, like the Wolverine movie. Like, they're not similar at all, but the idea of, like, that used to be incredible, that used to be top dog, now has to, like, kind of prove himself again.
And, it's the old gunslinger.
Yeah, I guess not Logan, just that trope of the old gunslinger.
Yeah,
thank you.
But 100%. And it's my favorite recurring gimmick, I think. Like, it happens every 5 years with someone. Like, the earliest examples are like Undertaker, Mick Foley, Edge now.
Did Foley have one?
Or Mick Foley when he came back against Orton.
What's that?
Orton, when he came back in 2004. When he came back in there, like, he's got spit in the face, and he's just like, I don't have it in me anymore. But what do I... Cactus Jack does! And he comes out as Cactus Jack for one last... to show what he's got.
Yeah,
you know?
You're right. Yeah.
That was my... Yeah.
They built him up so much, so I don't know what I expected, I guess. I expected, you know, AEW-style shenanigans, flipping around, doing crazy stuff, but that's obviously not his style. And I love that he's playing to his strengths right now, which is selling and in-ring storytelling and psychology and stuff, and it's working out.
Yeah, he made Powerhouse Hobbs look better than he's ever looked. And this is Powerhouse Hobbs' best match he's had since the coming here. And he's looked great. Like, he looks like a star because Christian just put him through the paces. It was great. Really great job. Really great job. Sound off in the comments if you really think that Christian did a great job.
Yeah.
We really love your love and the support. Thank you all so much. Mo, what's your next big move? What's the next big move?
Oh, my God. That MJF promo, man. It was too good. It was great.
It was too good.
Yeah. It was great. I don't even know what to say about it. I just have to comment on it that I was blown away by it. There's nothing. I'm not even sure what to say. Wardlow had a brief moment where MJF gave him space to talk. And I'm glad Wardlow talked because it only showed me how much better MJF is than everybody else on the roster right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you have any thoughts on it? I just had to point it out.
I wrote it in my
Chica Marks. Scarf upgrade. Scarf upgrade. Yeah.
Got the scarf upgrade.
Silk now. Yeah.
MJF now is a silk scarf. Thank you. Because Tully thought it was a great idea. Thank you, Chica Marks. Thank you so much. But that being said, I had this on my what's initially.
What do you?
As soon as it started, because JR was awkward.
Oh, yeah.
The whole situation was awkward in there. And Wardlow was talking. And then I just crossed it out because MJF just ran away with the ball. Like, just if he's just given the opportunity to say for them to be like, okay, you're gonna have the last 5 minutes every time, you know, it's when he's trying to pass it off, he's not very good at being a quarterback. He can't really pass it off to people and for them to hold it because he's that good, but he knows how to finish a promo. He knows how to finish a segment perfectly. It's perfect.
Yeah,
he's perfect at it.
I feel like AEW sort of struggles with the with building to these big feuds. Like Blood and Guts should be a major deal, right? And I think they're struggling to get to that point. But that promo with MJF, I think, got them there. I think they're on the path to make you feel like it should be like you know, like the name implies, like a blood feud. Like it should be life or death. And I think he's finding a way to get us to feel that. Yeah,
you're right though. It is going too fast. But let's see. Do you have any more woos? I got one more woo.
What's yours? Maybe it's the same.
You're not gonna agree. Okay.
Oh,
it's
God.
QT Marshall versus Billy Gunn.
Jesus, Red. What are you doing, Red?
Well, hold on,
Red. What is happening?
Let me try for a second. Let me just try. So,
Chica Marks, tell me what you thought about QT Marshall. I need some backup here. I'm not. Come on, this is insane.
Listen, all right. Let me explain.
This is ridiculous.
It was. I was glued to the TV. I had to watch every single part because I was just like, as Billy Gunn was coming out, I'm just like, oh, it's a Billy Gunn match. I like Billy Gunn matches because they're never more than 5 minutes long. They're never more than 5 minutes long. The man has asthma. And so he can't even go that long in the ring. He's never been able to. So he just does some big moves and it's going to be a quick one. But this lasted 10 minutes and he was so tired. And then they pulled out a wooden chair for some reason. There's not a wooden chair in the entire building except for underneath that ring. And then Goldust comes out with a bull rope. And no explanation. No explanation for the bull rope. They've got this wooden chair, and then they hit the head over that one guy that looks hairy with a chair, and it breaks into a million pieces. It was very entertaining.
Red, I just want you to know that we, you know, on the YouTube studio thing, it shows like a little graph of like viewership.
Oh, boy.
The moment you mentioned QT Marshall, it just dropped. It plummeted. Which, to be quite honest, means one viewer probably left.
Don't say that.
But but still, all right, I guess I should say that. You liked it for the vaudeville kind of silliness.
I kind of liked it because it was just, because the thing is, like, QT Marshall, he's good. He's very good. He's still figuring out his heel thing. I don't like him at all as a face. And as a heel, he's still figuring out, but he's obviously talented. He obviously knows what he's doing. And Billy Gunn, I was just seeing how he's going to work around Billy Gunn not being able to move or breathe very well.
Yeah.
I was compelled.
Ah, damn it. You make it sound so fun. I was so, like, grumpy about it, you know, watching it. Like, I think, you know, if QT's starting this new faction, like, he shouldn't get his ass kicked. Like, he's QT Marshall. So, I don't know. They should find some way to make him seem a little bit more of a threat. I don't think he should be suddenly a good wrestler.
His name is, you know, Cutie Marshall.
Yeah.
Cutie Marshall.
Cutie. Like, yeah.
The thing is, he's going to get beaten up. And I kind of like the idea of him being a great coach, but never been a good player, you know?
Yeah.
And he tries hard to be a player, but he's a better coach than he's a player. And there's a lot of coaches that are like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. I wasn't a fan of the match, but I do have to say the whole thing at the end with Nick Camarado, I think is how you say it.
Nick Camarado getting hit in the head with the fucking thing?
Yeah, Nick Camarado, that spot with Nick Camarado getting hit in the head with the fucking thing was fucking fantastic. I thought he looks insane. He's got the scraggly beard and the scraggly hair and the scraggly eyes, and Yeah, it was great. Potentially dangerous, like just getting hit in the head. I don't know. It's a wooden chair.
It was a gimmick. It was a gimmick chair. There's no way in the world. There's no way that the only chair in the building, the only wooden chair in the building that's under the ring is not gimmicked. I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
I'm too gullible for these things, okay?
Why is there one wooden chair? Why couldn't...
That's got to be real wood. Why else would it be there? Oh, no, Lord. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, but still, it looked great.
It looked great.
Yeah. So that was
honestly, I think they should do that for all their chair shots from now on. Is use the wooden one for the explosion, just like with the guitar. You know.
Yeah, we got some Camarado fans here.
Bless you. Sound off if you love Nick Camarado.
Loves the hairy guy.
Yeah, the hairy guy that looks like he's got a very stumpy head. He looks like a Masters of the Universe action figure.
What?
You ever watch the He-Man and the Masters of the Universe?
Yeah, but isn't he like? Got, I don't
know. No,
I'm
saying he looks like an action figure. Like, you ever see the line of action figures that have really short arms and they just like very, their necks are right to their head?
Yes, I have seen that. Yeah. Now I understand. Sorry. I'm
not saying he looks like Prince Valiant.
That's what I was trying to say. Like, he doesn't he? He definitely does have a beard.
No, he doesn't have the Prince Valiant figures.
But okay.
I forget what his name is. It's not Valiant, though.
You're saying he looks like a little action figure.
Yeah, he looks like a little action figure because he's so jacked and no neck. And he's all, like, veiny hair.
Yes. A little hairy action figure.
Very veiny and hairy. Do you have any more woos, Moet?
I think that's it, man. Yeah.
Wow, we're done with all the great stuff. All the good stuff. Now it's on to that bullshit. We're talking about the woods of the evening. The things that we didn't like. I've got a few. Nothing too... Well, actually, this summer I don't like. But let's start it off, Moet. What's your big what of the evening?
Oh man, that Inner Circle promo. It started that Blood and Guts feud was so good with that MJF promo. They should have just ended it there. As far as they were on it, you know, 9 out of 10 promo, other than that intro, like you mentioned. The Inner Circle did not need to go out, they didn't need to do any of that. Poor Jericho, he's just not finding his groove in this promo whatsoever. So I just thought it was disappointing. What do you got?
May I say, the thing is, I think Jericho is a great promo.
Yeah.
When he's a heel, and only when he's a heel. When he's a face throughout his entire career, I have hated every Jericho face promo that he's ever had. I've always thought that they felt forced when he was the Jericho-holics and he's the Ayatollah rock and roller. Then when he had the save me thing in like the 2000s, when he's trying to save the WWE Federation against Randy Orton, he's just doing this. He screams a lot. He says the corny John Cena style jokes. He's not very funny when he's a face. Everything about it, the comparisons of himself to MJF, when he made those comparisons, they don't look good. Like, he doesn't compare to MJF right now.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's trying to say, like, oh, your promos, it doesn't sound like you have any feeling. It sounds like they're rehearsed. Dude, it sounds like you're coming off yours at the top of your head, and they're not very good. You know?
Totally agree. Yeah.
And then they try to jump in with some things. He's doing the pineapple thing with Pinnacle. He does that every single week now. Jake. Jake sounds dumb.
What some people definitely hate Jake Hager's thing. Jake Hager's bit was terrible, and Jericho's song. Nobody likes the song. Yeah, I did not like the song.
The damn song. It got pretty sad. It got pretty sad to a point.
Smiz is on fire right now. He says, supposed to be building to a massive blood match, and Jericho's singing, and Hager's handing out straws. That's what he was handing out. Thank you.
I actually had no idea
what he was throwing at the camera. What was with the straws?
He's trying to say you're going to have to suck your meat out of a straw. And it was. I'm not sure if that was him trying to make a joke, or he's trying to be intimidating and it sounded like a joke. But either way, it was lame. No matter what way you split it was very lame. Santana is the only one that had something that sounded like he was trying to promote a match.
Yeah.
You know, it sounded like, even though it didn't fit at all, it didn't fit in there at all. Yeah. They handed the mic and he has this completely different promo. And the Joker's like, yeah, back to my song.
Oh my God, the song. Yeah. I gotta say, just the pineapple thing where, Pinnacle. Yeah. And then my jerk off friend, terrible. Both are terrible. Jericho is usually so good at coming up with catchphrases. He's come up with 1,000 catchphrases in his career.
When he's a heel.
You think it's all just heel?
Heel. He's
Was he at the he, list? Was that was he a heel?
The
he
list had to been started a heel. Out heel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's always been a great heel that gets things that the crowd really loves that he says when he's a heel. Then he becomes popular. Then he becomes a face and becomes lame again. And this has gone through his entire career of never being able to sustain being a face because he's so much better as a heel.
Mm. Yeah.
And
I guess that's a good point. I never noticed that, but I think you're right with that. Yeah. Yeah. I just was like, it was really interesting to me to see him fail at Pineapple and Jerk Off Fred. Because it sort of like, revealed, pulled the curtain back of like, this is obvious what I'm about to say, but like, the way you do it is just by repeating it over and over and over again. And if it's a funny enough phrase, the audience will catch on. But if it sucks, what do? You just keep saying it for 3 weeks in a row. Pineapple. No, Pinnacle. You know.
Well, if it's during COVID, you just keep doing it anyway because you don't have that audience telling you no. And that's what we've dealt with this past year, Moet, is a lot of the audience not saying no. And they just do it anyway.
Yeah. Painful. Yeah. The Lord. Song was very annoying. And he messed up.
He messed up the last rhyme. He messed up the last rhyme.
2 weeks in a row messing up in the big moment, you know.
I appreciate him trying to do ad-libbing his promo, but try to be serious about it because you being joking and improvising sounds like bad comedy. Yeah. And it sounds like you're not taking this seriously. And it sounded like the entire promo, he was not taking it seriously.
I agree. Yeah. I don't totally get why they're in a blood and guts feud other than it's the right amount of people in each faction fighting each other. Like, I don't know. Back when it was supposed to be the Inner Circle versus, the Elite, with Cody and everybody else, I guess you'd call them all. Yeah, of course you'd call them the Elite at that point. Yeah, that made sense. That would have worked really well, I thought. But they can't do that anymore. People have moved. Yeah, this I don't get. I think the match is still going to be awesome whenever it happens.
I'm curious about it. I'm curious about it, but I'm not holding out hope, unfortunately. But we're moving on. We got other what's to talk about. We got other what's and one what. This is another what I got, and I don't know if you're gonna agree with it, Moet. No. I don't know if you're gonna agree with it. Penta versus Trent.
Ah, come on. That was my. All right. Deuces. I like your question mark with Trent with the a dog trying to.
Could
understand.
You answer before we even talk about it? What does that mean? Why is they doing that?
What, the question mark?
The Trent. Is it just because there's not with he's not in the Best Friends, he's going solo and they does the Trent thing?
No, what? Honestly, I don't remember anymore because he's been doing it for years, like even on the indie circuit. I think in New Japan he
is
was
it Trent... that the oh, sorry
I think in New Japan he was Trent Beretta, but in PWG I think he was Trent with a question mark. He's been doing it for a while, and at this point I don't remember how that
is it
even
just
happened.
Because of the Best Friends, like they're shocked that he's not with Chuck Taylor's are like, Trent.
No. It's just a thing he's doing. It could have been potentially like copyright reasons or something. When he was like switching around promotions. I don't know. It's been a while.
Because I've never.
But there's a reason.
Because it was just interesting to me.
I think now it's just a joke. I think now it's just a funny thing to be like, Trent? That's the announcer. Because I like it. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm fine with it. I'm not mad at it. But the entire match, there was no selling at all. It was move after move. It just kept felt like they were topping moves. And then the interference at the end with Alex Marvez saying like, "Hey, wait, hold on, before you do a single thing, he told me before that your mom sucks dick or something." What did he say?
Your mom
he
sucks. Like, no dick. Just sucks. Just
oh,
sucks.
Yeah, he did say
just
that. Sucks. He did yeah. say that. Yeah, but he said that Trent gets mad, and then Penta wins handily with a package pile driver.
There's a lot.
So you like this match?
Yeah, I actually like Alex Marvez now. I get him now.
Is it Alex Marvez?
Yeah. Wait, what'd you say? Did I not?
I don't know his last name. I thought Alex Marvez was the interview in the back.
Same guy.
That's not the same guy.
It's totally the same guy.
I'll make a bet with you it's not the same guy.
I will take that
guy.
Bet.
Yeah, his name is Alex something else. I'll take that bet.
No, there's two Alexes. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I think you're thinking of a different Alex. The Alex Marvez. That guy.
Whoever the interviewer is in the back, the interviewer that goes up to the guys, he's older. He's like 20 years older.
Yeah, but this Alex, this guy. I can't believe we're doing this. This Alex. Was an announcer named Alex in the back.
Yeah, I'm sure his name is Alex. There's two Alexes, right?
Oh, God.
There's two Alexes. There's the Penta interpreter Alex.
Yes, but he's also... Okay.
But his name is not Marvez.
I'm just assuming someone's going to help us out in the
We're
chat.
We're going to have to
someone
hold,
said,
hold on.
Smith
either
said,
way.
Okay, no, he didn't. Smith didn't help us. They said, okay. I hate Alex. He's just a weird... He's just so weird. That might be the point. I think
he's
what
weird.
They're
he's,
trying to say is to get us back on track here. I think
yeah,
we're going
you.
Off
thank
the rails.
Thank you so much, Smiz. We really appreciate
it. No, he says, I'm pretty sure it's the same guy. I'm pretty sure it's
we're
the same
guy. We're going to have to do some research. We're all going to do some research. And we're going to get back next week on Loser Lee's Wrestling, the Woos and Butts, and we're going to talk about this.
Well, let me try to explain why I like Alex now. I did not like him either. I thought he was a bit annoying the way they were, you know, because he was supposed to be a neutral figure, and then all of a sudden he's with Penta. I think honestly because he speaks Spanish, and then he just got to his head, and then that's when it clicked for me. Like if I was in that position, I would 100% act like Alex Marvez. If I'm with the coolest guy in the company, and I could, you know, speak his language, and he chooses me to be his interpreter, yeah, I'm gonna walk around and be like, Penta says, you know, blah blah blah, and like I'm gonna like really milk it for all it's worth because I got the coolest guy.
Don't get me wrong, I like his character. I like Alex in this role. I just didn't like the interference. I didn't like him getting on the mic and being like, "Your mom sucks." Maybe I was just looking for something else. I don't know what I'm looking for. I just didn't like the match.
No, the interference was unnecessary, just like Sting, but it's within character because a dorky guy that becomes Penta's best friend we'll see Penta in trouble and be like, quick thinking, your mom sucks.
That's a fair point. I did not like the match and it's still on my what's, but I don't mind the interference as much.
I think I might be wrong.
They
say they're different. Alex Marvez is the backstage guy. This Alex is different. Penta's Alex is Alex Abra and Dante. Oh man, I messed up. I messed up really bad.
Because like the guy in the back is like 20 Sorry. Years older, 30 years older. He's a different. So I'm just thankful that you were gaslighting me.
I feel so embarrassed right now.
I was
starting
to doubt a lot about myself. I was just like, boy, Red, you got to pick up the pace. Thank God Red is not losing his mind. Moving on, I got one more what of the evening. Do you have another what? This is actually
hit
my
me
biggest
with your
what
because I'm yeah
yeah this is the biggest what of the evening to me. Honestly, this is the one that encapsulates all of what's wrong with AEW. I think this was a live segment. The Elite were in their trailer. It was Young Bucks and Good Brothers and Kenny Omega and Don Callis, and they're being interviewed. And then there's this honking going. First thing, they're just being lame and being dumb and rambling and talking over each other. It just sound like a lot of noise. And then there's honking going on outside. And it didn't seem like the Elite, the camera people, anyone knew what to do. I'm guessing it was live. And they're honking. They're supposed to, I guess, open the window, but they can't get the window to work. So they're just staring at a wall waiting for someone to open the window. And then they just cut to the outside where Eddie Kingston and John Moxley are in a truck, and they decide to ram into the trailer. But guess what? There's nothing in the trailer. Where'd they go? No one knows. Nobody, there's no questions answered. There, not even the questions answered. There was no sense to anything that happened in that segment. Do you have any thoughts as to what happened there?
Oh yeah, for sure. this was on my list too. The last thing on my list, actually. I actually liked the beginning, the Elite promo aspect of it until the weirdness happened. Just because, like, other than the Young Bucks being there, I'm starting to get used to the fact that they're just going to ignore the last year of storytelling with the Young Bucks. They're just going to do this thing. I'm starting to accept it. And through accepting it, I like this version of the Young Bucks. And I like seeing the Elite or the original Bullet Club back again. I like this. I like their cockiness. So it was just kind of fun to just see their personalities kind of like bouncing off of each other. Like, honestly, it was like a moment where I was just happy watching them like interact with one another.
I'm just happy they're happy.
I know, it's so.
I just want them to be happy. It's so, so cheesy. They work so hard.
I noticed that as I was saying it. That's kind of embarrassing, but
when they started honking,
I found it very interesting because it was all just from like an editing standpoint and a sound standpoint as well, like a sound design. I'm getting really filmmaky.
Let's get filmmaky.
Yeah, that's let's a silly filmmaky. Word. Yeah, like. I think it would have worked if they just didn't, maybe, I don't know, like, the fact that you could hear them honking in the shot with the Elite made it connect with something happening outside, and made it seem like, oh, there's a car outside this thing right now, so the last thing you see of them is looking out the window, and then it cuts to the, to Moxley and Kingston about to ram them. There's no way that they would, I mean, I guess they could escape, but the way they were acting so aloof, they didn't give us enough clues to show that that they would have understood to run away. So it's just a cop out. It's a frustrating cop out. If they said something, if it was just really like, if they were like, oh no, or something, and they make a little scattered motion.
If I wasn't so sure that it was pre-taped, if I wasn't so sure, I would have thought they did it live and there were several miscues with production. Because they like you said, they didn't show any connector, really, that they were in there and something was out there, besides the honking. The honking was the only indicator that they were next to each other. And then when the thing rammed, I don't need a lot. I don't need a lot to fall under the spell of wrestling, you know? You know, like, have them come out dizzy or something like that, or have them, you see them running away, out the other, like, the door, or something across the building, or something like that. Anything. This was the worst produced segment I think I've ever seen in AEW.
No, there was so much good in it.
Where was the good? Like, I guess, like, their interaction. Okay, well, let's scratch that. Their interaction, I didn't like it very much, but I could see how you do because you want your heroes happy. You want them giggling and smiling, tickling each other.
No, I don't.
I get it. I get it. You want them to
sound like they're my little ponies or something. Like, I can handle them in trouble.
Treasures.
All right?
They're your treasure. They're your preciouses. Yeah. I get it. But, like, the thing is, like, once that happened, that honking, they just didn't understand what they wanted to do. I'm not sure. Are they magic people? Were they just at the wrong trailer? Yeah. Were they? I just feel like it was a wasted segment and made no sense.
Because I
and
actually now. No. Oh, sorry.
But now Eddie Kingston and Jon Moxley just trashed an AEW vehicle, a company vehicle. They got nothing out of it. Like, there's no payoff at all.
That is actually funny since you mentioned that, because I remember at the start of AEW, maybe it was last summer, I don't remember, but like at some point the Young Bucks started super kicking the announcers and they'd be like, oh, that's $1,000 fine. It's $1,000 fine. Like, they just destroyed a truck and that nothing's going to come from it.
And nothing's going to come from it.
You know, as it should, honestly, because it's kind of a dumb story trope. But yeah, no, I liked the fact that you could hear the honking in the promo initially, because it added this like fun suspense. You knew it was like building and building and stuff. Yeah. I think it was just that one little bit of like just ruining the kind of believability of the whole scene where you're like, how are they going to get out of this? There's no possible way they could have escaped. Or like, you know, like Eddie Kingston walking into the thing after they ran the truck, like the guy without the weapon walks in first. Like, what is happening? You know, and then it just ruined that moment. If they just had something to explain how they escaped, it would have been great to me.
I feel like, I guess maybe I saw it with different eyes. Maybe I have to watch it again. It felt like a completely different thing than you're describing. It felt like a bunch of people yelling at each other and then honking that went on way too long. It was honking forever. And Kenny Maker's like, will someone check? Could you open up the window? Can someone open up the window? And then they're just standing there. Everyone's just standing, looking at the window, this black screen, waiting for something to happen. Like, almost like waiting for a cut. Or they were waiting for someone to say cut, and they're just like, I didn't know what to do. I don't know. Maybe I'm being too critical. Maybe I'm being too critical about it. What are the fans? What are the soundbox think? What are the peanut gallery?
Oh, they said a few things. I've been so intense, like intensely into this. So I missed a bit. What was going on with that? Where did they go? The elite.
Thank you.
The elite bit.
The elite.
was bearable, but I didn't know where they went. Everyone's confused about what happened, where they went. Yeah.
Well, we're all furious, and we demand answers, and we'll get them next week, right?
Oh, they were stolen by whoever stole Shaq. Did someone steal Shaq?
You don't remember they stole Shaq?
What happened to Shaq?
Right after someone his match.
Stole Shaq?
After his match, they put him into a gurney and put him into an ambulance, and they open the doors, and he's gone. He's gone. We talked about this on the show, being like, who's there, one of the episodes I labeled of AEW is who stole Shaq?
Clearly, I don't pay attention to anything.
Shaq's been stolen. Shaq's been stolen, and we haven't seen him since.
Where did Shaq go? What happened?
That makes a lot of sense. Thank you so much, listeners, and thank you so much for listening to this. Please follow us on the podcast. Listen to our podcast. We have the news every Sunday where we cover the week's news and we talk. We go into the mailbag, Moet's mailbag, where we answer your questions. Send us some mail. Send us some questions. We got a loserleavespod@gmail.com for all your questions. Moet's hungry for them.
It's so fun. I have so much fun doing it. Please let me have fun.
Make him have fun. Make him have as much fun as the elite we're having in that trailer, giggling and laughing and throwing pillows at each other.
I just want to be in the elite. Let me pretend I'm in the elite by reading your emails and answering them.
Send him questions as if he is in the elite. That's a good idea. That'd be a fun episode. Thank you all so much for listening. So check out our podcast. Check out the Instagram, Loserly's Wrestling. But that's all that we got for tonight. My name is Red Jefferson. I'm here with
Moet Jaswal.
Moet, if you were a fixture in a kitchen, what kitchen appliance would you be?
There's a baker's knife that I use all the time. It's the most useful thing. I just want to be a thing that's useful in specific situations, but is left alone in 90% of life.
Moet the knife, Jaswal. Yes, Moet the knife. Bye, everyone. Have a great night. You have a great knife.
Yes, I have a great knife. Thank you.